We are starting a series this morning called Made for More. So we're doing this across both campuses, Made for More. You are made for more. And we are going to delve into the book of 2 Timothy over the next 4 weeks and really just, you know, unpack the book, the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And so this morning, as we listen to the Word of God, you know, any one of you could be up here speaking and sharing the Word of God. I just really think it's such a privilege, and I'm so humble that I can actually share in this way with you. And as you hear this message, as you listen to the Word of God this morning, just have such expectant, teachable hearts and spirits to hear what God has for you this morning. God always has a word for each one of us. Deposit for transformation for you. So I want to present to you this morning, I want to propose to you this morning the notion that how would you live your life if today was your last? How would you live your life if you knew or you were expecting that your life would be cut short, that in maybe a couple of years' time that you knew that your life would come to an end? How would that make you live your life differently? What would you value? What would be important to you? What would really stand out in a way that, you know, wow, these are the things that are really valuable, and this is what I'm going to invest my time in the short time that I might have left. And what about if for that period of time that it was a very hard and difficult time for you, where you were experiencing injustices and difficulty and pain and, you know, would you just be despairing? Would you be discouraged? Would you just give up or become resentful? This letter that the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, this was written in a dungeon while he was in his second imprisonment in Rome, his final imprisonment. And in that time, they didn't imprison prisoners just as a holding cell, just to do your time for whatever crime that you were found guilty for or were actually in prison injustice. But this prison was actually, you were there with the expectation that you would be executed. And so the Apostle Paul knew that he had limited time. He had limited time. And he was in this, you know, these Roman historians describe this prison as being one of the most hideous and terrifying experiences that one could go through. It was a cold prison. It was like a dungeon. It was a cave in the ground, bare walls, no windows, food dropped through. Very, very difficult place to be. Yet, Paul writes, this is his last letter that he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy. It's the last letter that he writes. And I just want to give you a bit of context of how the Apostle Paul got into this dungeon in the first place, give you some history of why he was there. And so Roman historians write that in AD 64, on July 19th, the fire broke out in Rome, destroying 10 of the city's 14 districts. This fire raged for 6 days and seven nights, flaring sporadically for an additional 3 days. And though the fire probably started accidentally in an oil warehouse, rumours swirled that Emperor Nero had ordered the fire so he could rebuild Rome according to his own liking. Nero tried to stamp out the rumours, but to no avail. He then looked for a scapegoat. And since two of the districts untouched by the fire were disproportionately populated by Christians, he shifted the blame to them. So Paul was essentially in prison because Nero just needed a scapegoat. He didn't want to take responsibility for the fire that he had started. And so this is how Paul arrives in prison. Complete injustice. Complete injustice. You know, the accusations of these Christians that Nero put upon them was that he actually said that they hated mankind. Now, how would you be that you're a believer, you're a Christian, you actually love people, you want people to know Christ and know the salvation that we have, and yet Paul was accused of hating mankind? Just incredible injustice. So we read in 2 Timothy 1:15 that Paul was lonely. Phrygilus and Hermogenes and everyone in the province of Asia and Demas had deserted him. There were other people that, you know, were away who had abandoned Paul, and so he was lonely and he would have been discouraged and he would have felt, you know, a whole lot of emotions that we would imagine and feel if we were in this situation. Yet Paul, knowing his life was going to be ending soon, he writes this letter with such passion and urgency to Timothy to encourage him, to stir his faith up, to spur him on to carry the gospel, to continue leading the churches, to continue doing those things that God has called him to do. And see, as we hear this passage of scripture that we're going to read in a moment, I want you to hear it with that passion and urgency that Paul is writing this letter. Such urgency. And we need to have the same passion and urgency for the purposes of God as well. Let's read from chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Saviour. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learnt from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, it's like a double-edged sword and it pierces our hearts and our spirits and our minds. And Father, we thank you that as your word is spoken today, Father, Lord, that your word will pierce our hearts and our minds, Father God, and we will see transformation, Lord, for every person that is here right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what circumstances are you facing at the moment where you know, obviously it's highly unlikely that we will actually experience the imprisonment that Paul went through. But, you know, we can be imprisoned by other things. We can have, you know, imprisonment through our internal insecurities or doubt, or our mind, you know, can play tricks on us, and we can get carried away with things that aren't of the Lord. They're lies that we think about in our mind. That can be like a prison for us. And what circumstances are you facing that you can identify where you have maybe experienced injustice? Or maybe you're just discouraged. Well, let me tell you this morning that we learn from Paul that we are to rise above these things. We are to rise above these things and keep our eyes fixed and focused on those things that God has called us to do. And as we do that, he gives us strength. He gives us encouragement. He gives us the ability to endure and to keep going and to live a life that is holy for him. And how do we do that? Well, we need to know what to believe and in whom we believe. You know, Paul immediately speaks truth to Timothy. And Timothy was known to be timid and fearful. And I know Pastor Stephen talked last week about, we don't need to have, not to have fear, but to have faith. We're not to have a spirit of fear, we're to have a spirit of faith and boldness and courage and confidence. Fear is not from God. We need to know what to believe and in whom we believe, and to express and communicate the message of the good news, we need to know that it is God who gives us strength to face all situations, both good, painful, and difficult. We need to know that it was God's plan before the beginning of time to save us from an eternal death through his grace by the appearing of Christ himself, his death and resurrection, that has broken the power of sin and death and has made it possible for us to know Christ himself intimately, personally, to know God the Father intimately and personally, and to be living a holy life that God has called us to. You know, when I was 16, I remember so clearly the day that I came to the Lord, to my own salvation. When I was at university, that the Lord had put a woman in my life who was a believer, a Christian. She was a pastor's daughter, and she gently listened to all my questions. You know, I was searching for purpose, searching for answers to why. Why life? Why our existence? What happens after death? And she listened patiently, and she spoke the word of God to me with faith and love, so that I was able to receive the word and receive the revelation of Christ and have my own salvation. And she didn't stop there. She didn't stop there. She discipled me. She took me through studies of going through biblical foundational principles of, you know, who is Jesus and what is sin and death and just everything. And she got me to remember scriptures, and she would test me on memorizing these scriptures. And I'm so thankful for her diligence and her time that she invested into my life. The way that she thoroughly discipled me, she said she cemented a strong foundation in her walking alongside me and journeying with me. Now, she was part of a church in Bassendean that is very far away from Fremantle, where I was living at the time. But do you know what? She came to a local church and she checked it out. She said, yeah, this is a good church. So she helped me to find my place in the house of God, where I could grow and start continuing, you know, that journey with the Lord. It's gone full circle now, because she and her husband are actually pastors at a church nearby here. So thankful for what she did, her expression. She knew Christ. She knew him, and she knew what she believed. She knew the word of God. And so she was able to communicate that to me so that I could receive Christ myself. Every single one of us has been entrusted with the gospel, with the word of God. And there are divine appointments. There are divine appointments that God has for you to share the gospel with people in your world. Divine appointments. Each one of us are here because someone prayed for you. Each one of us are here because someone spoke the word of God to you. We need to be so grateful for our salvation. So when we know how great God is, when God and his glory becomes the great fact in our lives, then we do have that boldness. We do have that strength and that courage and that conviction to speak the word of God with faith and love. Even Paul had a transformational encounter with God. He, you know, God arrested him. Paul was killing the Christians, but God arrested him. He had an encounter with Christ. And since that time, he earnestly, passionately invested and taught, preached the gospel, preached the good news. He did what God called him to do, and he encouraged Timothy. I want to ask you this morning, who are you investing into? Who has God got for you to speak his truth, to speak the gospel to with faith and love? Every one of you has been entrusted with the gospel, with the good news. And we need to be passionate about sharing that with those people in our world. Another aspect of this passage of scripture that stood out to me was how Paul trusted his whole life and even his death into the hands of the Lord. His whole life, all the circumstances, even though he was in prison, he even viewed that, he viewed that as being, you know, God's got me. God has got me. I can trust God in all circumstances. Whether it's suffering, whether it's good, it doesn't matter. I can trust him with everything. Everything, my whole life. Sometimes we have a different understanding of suffering. We might think that suffering is a bad thing. Well, actually, God's right in the midst of our suffering. Right there in the midst of it. And through that time of suffering, that as we endure, that he is carrying us through. He is carrying us through and lifting us up and out. And we can have confidence that he is there with us through whatever we go through, whatever suffering we are experiencing. He knows, he understands, and he's with you. He might not remove the suffering from you, but actually he will help you and strengthen you and give you the ability to endure. Just think of Christ on the cross, the suffering that he endured, all for the glory of God, and knowing that on the other side was his resurrection, death to life. So what areas in your life do you need to give to the Lord? Do you need to submit to him, to trust in him for? Maybe it's easy for you to trust in the Lord with your finances. Maybe that's an area that you need to surrender to him. Maybe there's part of your life where you don't completely trust him with your family. And maybe the Lord wants to cause you to put your trust in him with that. We need to put our whole life in the hands of God. He can be trusted. And the last point that I want to just share with you is, what have you been entrusted with? We read in 2 Timothy 1 verses 13 to 14, "Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learnt from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you." The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines entrust as a verb, and it means to commit to another with confidence, to assign to a person or a place for a definite purpose. You know, we have been entrusted with the gospel. We've been entrusted with the word of God. And you know, our faith in the Lord, this is what God has entrusted to us. This is what God entrusted Paul with the gospel, with the good news that we know that we are, you know, when we pass through this life, that we're going to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be having, you know, just worshiping the Lord, eternity with him. We know that. And this is what we have been entrusted with. We're to guard it and protect it and cherish it and nurture it. What are you doing with the truth of the gospel that has been entrusted to you? What are you doing with this? You know, I know Pastor Stephen talked about the phobia of being without a mobile phone and how valuable we put, you know, in our phones. And I was thinking, wow, if I didn't have my mobile phone, I would be lost pretty much all the time. My husband wouldn't be able to know where I am. How would I wake up in the morning? He tells me the time. He tells me what's happening in people's worlds on social media. It's got everything. I do my banking, do everything on my phone. And how many times have, you know, well, maybe it's just me, but I've learnt the hard way that you do not put your phone in your back pocket. I've had to fish my phone out of the toilet on a number of occasions and put it in rice and praying that, you know, it would be resurrected, and then it's not, and then I have to get a new one. And how many times I just drop it and get smashed. And it's not that I'm deliberately careless with it. I'm just clumsy and drop stuff all the time. And You know, God wants us to be careful with the Word of God. He wants us to use it wisely and to guard it and look after it, cherish it. There was one occasion where Richard bought me a, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was basically a cover for your phone that was, it would protect your phone to the point where your phone could not be destroyed. So if I dropped it, it wouldn't smash. If I put it in water, it wouldn't be destroyed. But the cover was so robust, I couldn't press the buttons on the phone. I couldn't use it. And it was very frustrating, so I took it off. And sometimes we might treat the Word of God where, you know, we might just think, oh, it's so precious, it's so valuable, and we'll just have it nicely displayed in our home, or, you know, this is the Word of God. Yes, I love God. And we might just value it to the point where we don't actually read it and get into it and write in it and meditate on it. You know, we need to be using the Word of God. We need to be using it and guarding it well. So what are you going to do with what God has entrusted you with? It is the gospel. But it's also your uniqueness. It's also your appointment for this time. It's your gifts. It's your talents. How are you going to use that for the glory of God? God has entrusted you with things that only you can bring. Just think of the young people. I know we've been praying for you over the last few weeks. You've been in exams and that you know, high-pressure time, and now you've come out the other side and kind of enjoying that, oh, you know, just can relax a little bit. You know, God has got incredible purposes that only you can bring, that only you can fulfill. God has entrusted you with people in your life that He wants you to speak the Word of God to with faith and love, and to have the confidence and the courage and the faith to do that, to step out, to go for it, to do that. What's the worst that can happen? They reject you? Well, actually, they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting you. So just go for it. Just do it. Okay. As we come to a close, I want you to write down, whether it's in your phone or in your notebook, or I just want you to put this down on paper so that you can reflect on what God is speaking to you about these questions. And I want to ask you right now, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you examine your heart, and let Holy Spirit speak to you about those areas of your life that you need to put into the hands of God and trust Him for, so that God has sovereignty over all areas of your life. Just write down, what am I not trusting in the Lord for? And what do I need to put my trust in God for right now? Just write that down. Who are you personally investing into, encouraging and teaching? I'm so grateful for Rebecca who invested into my life. I'm so grateful for the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul encouraged Timothy so strongly. And God wants you to invest into people. And who is that? Write that down. Note that down. And lastly, what are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? With the gospel, with His word, with who you are. Know what you have been entrusted with and guard it, nurture it, value it, share it. Study the word. Use the word with faith and love. Use your gifts to be Christ to others and to share the good news of salvation. What are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? Maybe He's leading you into studying the Word more. Maybe it's more time in His presence or in prayer. As I've been thinking about this message and thinking about what God has entrusted to me, that, you know, I've been thinking about time and how valuable time is, and looking into organizational psychology and thinking about how can I actually live my life and make the most of my time to fulfill the purposes that God has called me to do. And it's an attitude of wanting to learn and know and be taught. And so this week I'm actually putting in times in the morning where I will be blocking out to listen to podcasts, to spend extra time in prayer with the Lord. Set aside more time to study His Word in depth. That's what God has entrusted me with right now. We all are learning, we're all growing. We all need to have that teachable heart and spirit. So what are you going to do with what God has entrusted to you? Write that down this morning.